Bands as football teams as bands. The concept is simple for Bands FC. Raf Diallo here for Team 33, and I have a couple of special guests in studio who are over in Dublin for an exhibition. It's Bands FC co-founder Nick Fraser and graphic designer Mark Liptrot. Welcome to studio, lads. How's it going?
Yeah, great. Good to be here.
How has the exhibition gone so far? And can you just maybe give us a few details of how long it's running and where it is for people who want to check it out?
Okay, well, it opened last night, and it was a fantastic event. We just great people. We had a bit of an interview and a Q&A, and lots of pizza, and it was just a fantastic night. Yeah, yeah.
So it was in Rascal's brewery.
Yeah.
So
in Inchicore, yeah.
Yeah. So there was that challenge of organising an event in a brewery and making sure it sort of went right, which. It was a fantastic evening, and
I remember the venue as well, because I've only been in it once for a table quiz, and again loads of pizza and everything else. So it's a good nice spot, and a little way out of town, but that kind of makes it perfect in a way, because there's plenty of space, especially for something like this. So I gave a tagline at the very start, which was "Bands as football teams as bands." It's a slight explainer of what Bands FC is, but maybe if you can just tell our listeners exactly what it is, for those who may not have come across it on Twitter.
Well, the best way to explain is
visual.
Is a visual way, yes. Everything we do is visual. So, we combine crests of football teams with anything to do with a band, so the links can kind of come through visual links, location, geography, affiliation, visual links, rhymes, song titles, anything, okay? So there's a couple here where we've got the Sampdoria badge, which has a figure on it already smoking a pipe, which looks like one of the Gorillaz characters, if you flip it. So it was kind of given on a plate, was that one, really.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, you know, we actually didn't know this badge, did we, when we first saw it?
No, somebody sent it.
We thought it was actually, they just stuck a Gorillaz character on there, so.
And then when we checked it out, it was like, wow. And these different sort of elements that a club uses, so that the bull on the Oxford United one, and the representation of the river, you know, these things are sort of how these badges started, with like this sort of civic badge or whatever. And so we took elements of Radiohead, use this sort of character to show them. So you kind of put the two things together, and it's almost like one of those magic eye things when you remember those. Your brain looks at that and thinks, I know what's going on, and I kind of like it, but, you know,
yeah,
you have to get it back to that football teams as bands.
The Sampdoria one you've pointed out there at the bottom, like, I've looked at that badge hundreds of times. I don't think I've never noticed that before, in terms of the kind of pipe smoking, kind of almost what it looks like as a design, which obviously
it's a very
strange
badge. It is a strange badge. I think one thing we strive for is balance between, and it's difficult to get this, between the band and a football team, but it has to look like a football team badge rather than a bit of band merchandise.
Yeah.
So, you know, for fonts and things like that, we won't go with some, like, we wouldn't use, say, like, you know, Black Sabbath typeface or something like that. You use what a badge.
The band ones tend to be a bit dramatic, don't they? And
then
you look what clubs use, and they're different fonts to each other, but they don't have that sort of, you can often tell the type of music a band plays by the sort of elements that they have.
Like metal bands.
Yeah,
black and white is in terms of color, but the fonts. Something that always looks the same. Whether you look at a Metallica one or a Megadeth or whatever, there's something, you know what type.
So
of
we wouldn't write it in that kind of way. If we did a Megadeth badge, for example, we might just write it in like Times or whatever, totally different.
Yeah. And then so we started sharing these. We did them. It wasn't much over a year ago, really. And we had that thing of, you know, when you think something's quite good, which we did, and then you can kind of, I don't know, you think up a joke and tell it to someone and they go, don't get it. And so we sort of, we showed a few people the ones we'd done, and they were like, wow, these are really something quite amazing.
Yeah, and like you're holding a Cure one there. So In terms of your start point, when you're looking at a badge, does the football team come first, or do you have the band in line first?
With this one, we absolutely loved the Nottingham Forest badge. It's very clear and clean, you know, and it was one of those sort of first ones that moved away from too much fine detail on a badge, and that represents the River Trent and Sherwood Forest.
Funnily enough, that came to me. I was filling my bath one morning, yeah. And the water just reminded me that I was filling the bath, and I thought, Forest, Cure, stopped the bath, ran back and did that.
And we've really loved. Social media is an important part of what we do, and there's that engagement. And football, the engagement in football is kind of like, I might be your friend who, I'm more likely to phone you when your team's been absolutely trounced over the weekend.
Yeah.
And there's that sort of kind of the jokey aroundness of those kind of things. And we, you know, with something like this, we love the thing of people going, I've got some information for you. The Cure are actually from a place called Crawley, and I know them, and I'm a really big fan. And we say, yeah, they did a song called The Forest. It's not,
Some people don't get past the geography thing, but it's a lot.
Just on the geography thing, I know the Manchester United one, you've done kind of Stone Rose.
We have, that's behind us.
Yeah, which obviously makes sense as a...
It does, so it works for that, and you had to.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the Beatles we haven't done as Liverpool, you know?
Yeah, who have you done them as?
What are they called?
Villarreal,
whose nickname is Yellow Submarines.
It's funny, and now you find what people know, because we said that to somebody last night. I mean, of course, the Yellow Submarines. Yeah. Well, we didn't know that until we sort of looked a bit.
Bit of research.
We kind of pride ourselves on using a bit of history as well as geography, and we use a bit of chemistry, and not sure about biology. But so this one was... Is this sort of starter point of where you go from? So the band are Scottish, we know that. Yes. You know, we could fair guess they don't have a, just because of the way the band are, they don't have an immediate affiliation with football, you know. And
they always have that colour scheme because, funnily enough, it's the first album I properly bought when I was a teenager. And I haven't actually bought a Franz Ferdinand album since.
But yeah.
Every colour scheme I've seen on the album cover since, it's often
colour scheme.
We actually, I've done a few, and I just sent it as a bit of a screen grab initially, because Alex Kapranos had liked it, hadn't he, and said he wanted to, we were doing a badge for them, and Nick tweeted some of the screen grabs, and he went, top right is the one he wants.
So
and
Alex
wasn't going to be that one.
All right.
So, but the singer from... Franz Ferdinand is like straight in there saying, I like that one, it's like job done. But the root of the badge comes from the name of the person that inspired very basic O-level history or whatever. You've got this...
The Archduke who was shot in 1914 or whatever it was, yeah.
Well, it was indeed, in Sarajevo.
Yeah.
And so we're like... You know, we've got that sort of thing where we're quite pleased with ourselves when we come up with some of these. And you kind of think, you know, if you take these, you think, job done, that one.
We could probably teach every area of the school curriculum.
Yeah.
There is one. I like this one, yeah. So, Scotland, Air, A-Y-R, Air, the band.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
So, just the same name. And then, Air Imagination Reeve is where they... I don't know if I'm saying that right, but it means... Love, imagination, dream.
Yeah, I'm a fountain of knowledge. I never realise it.
Yeah. Well, it's very... it's kind of the elements of when you do a quiz and you're sort of a little bit pleased that you know something or you can throw it in. And it's so... You've got that sort of... You can just... We watch people looking at the exhibition and you saw it last night and they'll tap each other and, you know, this was a good example of... One that we did, everybody knows this band, and a lot of people know this badge now. I think Paris Saint-Germain are probably better known now than even in, you know, they were the 70s or whatever, when big in European Cup. And then everything sort of retained on this badge, and then in the sort of negative space, you've got the two robots, and, you know, this was the first one where
it kind of went worldwide with people really celebrating this. And not long after it, I think somebody said, oh, yeah. And after a while, I noticed the robots are actually on it as well. It was my favourite one, and then I noticed that. And we were thinking, how could it be your favourite and you not know that? So we shared this information and said, somebody's just pointed out they've only just noticed these guys on there. And we were like, you knew they were on there, right? And so many people came back and said, you know, I didn't. And we were telling somebody that last night, and they said, oh, yeah, I didn't.
So they just like a PSG badge that says Daft Punk on it. Like, yeah, so like that's
at
it.
At first glance, you don't know. Yeah. You get the Eiffel Tower kind of motif, but then I think it's just as you kind of...
Yeah.
Your eye, the eye doesn't always naturally go to either side, but then you do actually see the design.
And then, you know, so something like that, we realised we were really enjoying doing it, and we'd be bouncing ideas around and stuff like that, and then... We eventually sent them to the NME and thought, well, they like music, they like football, they like... If they just go, what are you sending us these for? You know, we'll think, oh, I just thought you might look at like... And they said, we want to write something about these. And as they did, we then got the National Football Museum in Manchester got in touch and said, do you want to come and do an exhibition here?
Yeah.
So... you know, it kind of started to run away with itself.
So obviously when you started it, you didn't kind of realise exactly where it's going. It's a bit of fun maybe to start off.
Of course it was a bit of fun, it was loads. Just texting each other, bit of fun, making them a reality. And it just snowballed, and there's about 700 now, so yeah.
Yeah, you mentioned a few bands that have kind of got back and, you know, given positive feedback. The likes of the Charlatans, I think, they were among some of the ones that have reacted positively.
Yes, so when a band reacts like that, we work with them to produce usually an enamel badge, but it has been a shirt as well with pulp, and we sell those, and the band will choose a charity that 100% of that money will go to the band's charity. Yeah.
And then with the Charlatans, they chose the brain tumour charity that John Brooks, their drummer, died in 2013. And then, you know, that was, and you know, we sold the badges to fans and managed to raise a couple of £1,000s. And so then we ended up working with Suede, Pulp, Manic Street Preachers, Public Service Broadcasting, loads of them.
And you've had an affiliation as well with War Child, the charity as well, I think, and with one set of exhibitions.
Well, what that is they approached us to work with them. They have a charity that's a football charity.
Yeah.
And so there's a list of 16 bands or artists that came on board, Liam Gallagher, Idols, new bands like Lines, and so people bought a band badge with a War Child enamel badge.
Okay.
And the money from that went to that charity.
Yeah, which is obviously hugely positive to be able to do that. Other ones that I just had listed down that seemed to show a bit of interest or, you know, reacting positively, the Cribs, Echo and the Bunnymen as well, so... It's obviously...
Well, Echo and the Bunnymen was that was the first one.
That was the first one, yeah, that you created, yeah.
And so,
I only did it because it's my favourite band. Straight away, I was like, all right, the Bunnymen, you can just swap that, you know, the Lima Bird for the Voodoo Billy thing in the middle.
And then there's some references to songs and bits and pieces up here. There's three or four.
Hidden things again. You've got two dancing horses just hidden in the ironwork there and the Killing Moon and stuff like that.
And then Mark texted me and he said, you know, the great thing is, like, with modern technology and social media and stuff, he's got a copy of it on his phone.
Yeah.
And he went to see David Byrne.
Okay.
And he said, I'm sat behind Echo and the Bunnymen's manager. Do we say... Oh, we've got this, and they go, what are you doing? Or, you know, would they maybe go, hey, we like that? So he showed him, and he really liked it.
He doesn't wear a shirt that says Echo and the Bunnymen manager on the back. I did know him.
Of course. You have another one there, which I think it's the... which is very, very close to home as well.
Very close to home, because we just, on the way in, we were getting a lift, and... it was pointed out we were driving through their kind of homeland kind of area.
They've got huge, obviously, in the last couple of years doing, you know, American TV and everything. So hugely, hugely positive. So where did this design come out of, and why did the band particularly fit in?
Well, this was a couple of badges. We really loved the Torino badge, and that has Torino FC with a bull.
Yeah.
And so they're closely related to the image of a horse, which is on their album.
The circus theme on the album, yeah.
And then that got us reading about, I read about the photos they used on artwork and stuff like that, and it was something I wasn't really aware of, and, you know, it gives you a bit of sort of background on them.
That's something I like about the projects, is the research you put in just by looking into their album covers, read about them, then you might go off onto a tangent and read about the photographer, about the club, you know, clubs that split and then rivals, and then one beats the other, and it's
And then brilliant. This is Dublin City, so, you know, a club that's sort of close to where they are. We look for affiliations that a certain, you know, band members might have, but it leads to sort of funny situations, because even Oasis had a Manchester United fan in them, and you're talking about four or five or six people. If they're from, you know, say the Midlands in the UK, you've got, or most towns and cities have rival teams, so you've got,
if you're Scottish, you've got no chance.
Yes, yeah,
of having a band where everyone supports the same team, really.
Yeah, and then you get this thing of like, how do you choose that? And that's back to that. That's what football is, you know. How can they play that player or whatever? I always like the one with so Death Cab for Cutie are an American band, and we've got Derby County Football Club. At times have hit sort of quite heights, but probably not so now. And you think their awareness of each other's probably non-existent until Twitter comes along
and puts them together.
And DCFC is actually Death Cab for Cutie. DCFC official is Derby County Football Club. Death Cab took our logo that we'd done and mixed the two and sort of did a little wavy hand to Derby County Football Club, because they've probably had these things where Derby are reading their social media that says, man, that third track on the first album just brings me to tears every time. And, you know, Death Cab for Cutie play a gig, and the first message back is, you need to get rid of that striker.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, so they kind of became much more aware of each other.
Yeah. Obviously, you showed me the Franz Ferdinand one. I think there was a Motorhead one, I think, that we have an image of that we were looking at earlier. So it's up on the screen there.
I remember.
What was the idea behind it?
The crest it's based on is Motherwell.
Yeah.
And it's purely, it sounds a bit like it, it fits them, it works. There's a few that Nick's texted me, and he said, I remember him texting me the Aerosmith one, and that's Arbroath. Texted me that little thumbnail on the phone, and I thought, who's done that? Who's done that Aerosmith one? It looked like it already, and that was exactly what happened with that one, really. It looked like Motorhead Motherwell fit.
Yeah, it feels right. Anyway,
And what we had at that stage was particularly Arbroath's an interesting one, because the club said, "Where's ours?"
Yeah,
and they instead of that thing of coming and saying, "What are you doing here?" Clubs were coming in and going, "Oh, we don't have one." And so what we'd done was we ended up with a list of. It was funny, you know. After maybe 2 weeks, we were kind of like, "Oh, there's only one club in the you know, English Premier League we haven't done. We've done all of the Scottish Premier League. There's one club in the you know, the next division down." And so we were sort of like, and you'd look at everyone involved in the Champions League and think, wow, we've kind of done them, this one, you know. And so we then started filling in blanks, and something like the Motherwell one was like, you just Google the badge and think, Motorhead, next.
I think there was one that jumped out. We don't have it with us today, but it's the, I think Jimmy, I think might have been a fan-made one, but Jimi Hendrix, as in New England Revolution, but I think it goes back to Woodstock or something, where he obviously played the anthem, and they've got I suppose, the stripes, the star.
We have a few helpers on the project, like designers, and a guy called Brett did that one for us.
Yeah.
Did a few American teams that we weren't 100% aware of. Yeah.
And then when we went to, somebody got in touch and said,
"Oh, we do have it there." It's a friend of ours again. Another one that just feels right as well.
Yeah, a friend of ours animated that as well. Of you know, so a lot of people get involved where you think, you know, we animated the Prince one and then, you know...
Put the the Flaming Lips, who we have just worked with as well, does some shirts with them and stuff, and we animated... theirs animated as well, instead of...
Yeah, sort of dancing unicorn with rainbows, and, you know, and that's... Fans of the band just saw that so represented, you know, what they were all about.
Yeah, I suppose the final point, and it's a slight tangent, and something we've talked about on the show before, obviously... clubs rebrand and they, you know, they update their logos. Juventus famously did theirs, where they've changed it to obviously the two, you know, to the kind of J design.
Joy Division.
Yeah. You've changed it to Joy Division.
They're not called that now.
Yeah, but I'm not some of us are traditionalists. I think I would be when it comes to football. What do you think of that change? I suppose that attempt to modernise the club sometimes do, especially when it comes to badges, and maybe to a lesser degree.
I'm really interested in the history of the football crest design. We were talking about it last night, how it moves from like city crests, really complicated, through to like late 60s, 70s, where they come simplified, like the Forest badge we talked about, and then things changed again, then they're coming back again. So there's this cycle. I think the design is very strong across the board on all football badges, and I think it now is stronger than band brands at the moment. You know, where you used to be able to scribble a load of logos for The Who or Motorhead or whatever, Iron Maiden. It's not the same.
And people have a voice now. You know, at one time you'd have to write into the club and say, I'm not keen on what you've done there. There's Leeds United were going for a rebrand, and they did the one which was, and it was unanimously sort of trashed. And no bad thing, the fans said, we don't want it. And they said, yeah, you know, the club said, well, we're not going to use it then. And that changed things of saying, we have to listen to that voice that, you know, and fans felt unlistened to for a long time in football. And with that one, it was funny, it was a rejected badge. So we thought, are we allowed to use that? And you think, well, it existed even for a moment. And so that ended up as with Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, and they did an album, Let Love In, and it actually really worked. And sort of this sorry badge that had been, you know, you think it didn't do anybody any harm. Yeah, it ended up this sort of beacon of rejection. But you popped that on it, and a strong band like Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, and it ended up, it got a bit of a new life to it, and we quite enjoyed that.
Something we'll only use a badge once, but we'll use the variations throughout its history again for a different band. So that's. You know, it's good to like find slight variations.
Yeah, because like the Arsenal have a few variations. Obviously, the one they wear now. But
then some really slight.
There was a nice one with little kind of, I suppose, treaded cannons the whole way through, which was, and I think even there's older ones which were kind of.
Some that are so old they only exist as like a really bad photograph of an embroidery. And I hate having to try to redraw those ones.
As I can imagine. But you touched on social media there, and in terms of the Leeds example. So I would have come across Bands FC initially on Twitter. So it's obviously hugely positive on both sides, A, for fans to interact with clubs, but also for you to get images out there. Because again, Twitter is very, and Instagram to the same degree, they're very image focused.
Yeah, and just that thing of like, you know, you can click on something, save photo, tweet photo, and it is a funny one of like people think, they sort of say, how's this never existed before? And you think, because how would you do this in 1983? Of like phoning a friend and going, I've seen this thing, I'll fax it to where your mum works and she can bring it. So it's just this whole instant world that's moving so fast. And you know, the sort of this done as this. BBC Sport got in touch with us and said, hey, have you thought of doing something for Six Nations Rugby? And we're kind of like, no. We're thinking of doing this. And we kept away from doing things like that at first. And then we thought, well, there's a big thing in rugby, which is the shape of the ball.
Yeah.
And then that opened up this... It only was a couple of days.
We did our album covers... kind of with rugby balls and rugby themes.
And you got the six countries that we're representing. So we just thought, oh, well, it's kind of like a new theme for us to do. So in a couple of days, we concentrated on stuff like that, sent it to BBC Sport. They absolutely loved it. And it was then back to what we did before, but probably learn a couple of little tricks or whatever. So, yeah, the social media thing is huge. Like,
one thing I got off social media, so straight away people are like, oh, look, somebody's using it as the, this is early on, somebody's using it as their, like, profile picture. And we were like, wow, you know. Next thing, somebody's having a tattoo.
Yeah. Well, Wendy Smith from one of our favourite bands, Prefab Sprout. Yeah. So Prefab Sprout from the northeast of England, where did they support a team, didn't they? We kind of looked into it. And then there was this, possibly, I reckon, their most famous lyric. Maybe they're not. The one that really sticks with everyone is that hot dog jumping frog, Albuquerque. So is there an Albuquerque FC? Of course there is.
There is, yeah. I didn't see the club when I was down there, but I was in Albuquerque in the summer. It's a fabulous place.
Do you have a breakfast burrito? That's possibly my favourite.
Yeah, anything spicy I tend to stay away from if I'm on holidays, because generally I don't want to go near the local hospitals or anything.
Sometimes if there's a band, like, I remember doing the Boo Radley's Giant Steps was on an anniversary, and I loved that album, and I thought, well, let's do Boo Radley's. Is there a Boo Radley's FC? No, there was something very similar. So like Radley FC, so I can't remember. But
I think
whatever.
From Boo, wasn't
was it?
It
Boo? Boo yeah, FC. Yeah. It was Boo FC. That's yeah, correct, right? And so whatever band it is, there's always some.
Yeah.
The Happy Mondays, we were struggling, and a guy who helps us sometimes, Rich, he'd founded a small team called Hallelujah FC. And so people that may look at that design might not be aware of Hallelujah FC, but it totally fits.
And then they used a company called Central Station Design for all their stuff. It gave them that really vivid kind of thing that became a huge part of what they did. And it was a good chance to, you know, pay homage. If any lawyers are watching, we pay homage to stuff.
We pay homage to other designers like Pete Fowler and Super Fairies and stuff like that.
Yeah. The only one I'm curious to see now is what you do with Tame Impala, but I think that brings us up, obviously, Australian psych band. And
I reckon that was in the first...
Didn't it really, early? 100%,
I'm curious to see that now.
Isn't it the Lizard Wizard we've done?
You can't go too literal of, you know, showing how tame it is on the badge, but it's sort of
champ.
But the exhibition, for those who want to see all of this work and everything else as well, it's running from October 9th to 20th. Admission is free. Again, Rascals HQ, nice spot, as we said. And it's Wednesday to Friday, 4 to 7, and then Saturday, Sunday, 12 to 6, for anybody who wants to check it out. So thanks a million for coming in.
And we usually bring some bribes for people, so we've got you a nice enamel badge.
I'm always open to bribery.
And
this is football, after all.
These work well in the workplace. You know, sometimes if you shout oi or whatever at somebody, maybe not seeing, whistle, they'll turn round.
It's gone down well with the teachers, though.
Yes, there was a teacher talk about last night.
for any executives or anything, bribery always works. So we're happy enough. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thanks a lot.